from.
You're muted.
Radio.
When the green is on, you're muted.
Welcome. Welcome.
Fokker Nation out there tonight. Eldon McFarling here, your guest host on the podcast for this evening. Generally, the topic I like is on maintenance, but the floor is open for anything you want to bring in tonight. I do have a couple special guests, so I'm going to get to them here in just a moment. I just want to touch on one thing that we had a very good discussion last night on Wednesday night's show on the electric fans to replace your clutch fan. And I hadn't really been looking, so but I did a little research here because I thought there was a place that made a pretty decent fan that would work on a mid-range truck. And I did stumble across an outfit that makes some pretty heavy-duty fans, and they're claiming they use them on over-the-road trucks up to 450 horsepower. Now, this is really promising for the the fellows that called in that are using four automotive fans or eight automotive fans. What they're showing here is they have something capable of 10,125 cubic feet per minute, which is huge. Those automotive fans are maybe good for up to a couple thousand cubic feet per minute. So this is looking pretty promising, and they do have a heavy-duty motor and some pretty good-size blades. And so I'm going to check this out a little further, but if you are interested in looking at that, the website is electricfanengineering.com, and I will be putting up some links on a blog on letstruck.com when the dust settles here in the next few days. I'll get some of the stuff up that I've found and we talked about, and that's about all I have. If you want to talk about that, dial in. And we have I want to remind everybody, if you're listening online, that we have some lines open, so dial us on up at 347-884-8327. And remember to push 1 on your phone to get you in the queue so I can bring you on the show. I don't have a call screener this evening, so I'll be picking up live, so I will announce the last 4 digits of your phone number, and then we'll get you on. I want to bring on my partner, Rose, right now. She was on last night, but the call dropped, and I wasn't able to get her in on anything. But I think we're doing better tonight. Hello there.
Can you hear me?
You're on live.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hello, everyone. Greetings.
The one question I think I was trying to get out last night is I was trying to remember if you had ever been out and had the brakes freeze up Do you remember that? I think maybe you had trailer brakes freeze one time.
I believe it was trailer brake.
And
a long time ago, with Randy's trailer, probably 10 years ago.
Oh yeah, and I think that I don't remember. Did you have some? Did I tell you to put alcohol in the trailer line?
That's what I was thinking we had to do.
Yeah, that wasn't too big a deal. I mean, you know, that's pretty easy in the big picture, but...
Yes, it was. If I remember coming back to me, I think it was when we were at Cook's, and my line actually, the Glad Hands had let some snow inside. I think that's the way it was.
Oh, yeah, I remember that one. I had to go deal with that one. Yep, and after that, I put those covers on the Glad Hands so the snow wouldn't blow in there, and that solved that problem. But, yeah, that was on our own trailer. Well, anything else you want to throw out before I start taking some calls?
Not really. I should have been thinking about this sooner.
Okay. Well, I'm going to... I got a little thing to play here, and we also have another guest to bring on, so I'm just going to try something here, and we'll see what happens.
To the Batmobile. Let's go.
Pretty woman, walking down the street. Pretty woman, the kind I like to meet.
I drive a big freight liner and I make a last payment today. And I drive to all points out of New York City to L.A. Well, the little woman smiles when I pack up to leave her. I'll soon be back, but I just got the fever. She's a believer. I got the freight liner fever.
And our regular old-time listeners will remember that opening from Maggie from a while back. And Maggie, how are you?
I'm doing good. How are you, Eldon? It's been a while since I've heard my little intro to the As the Wheel Turns.
Yeah, I had to dig that up. I forgot the name of you had there. Yep, As the Wheel Turns. And that was a lot of fun.
Turns. I was going to also mention, I had some brakes freeze up on my mail trailer last winter, and you can either tap them with a hammer until they release, and I usually take my rubbing alcohol and put it in the Glad Hands and shoot it through the trailer and try to get them to release, but here lately I've had a bunch of junk that's been in my air tanks, and I had to drain them, and you wouldn't believe the stuff that's been in them, and then... it's been a really cold winter for me already, and you could take the line off at the air governor and put that air dry in, and that kind of makes things kind of milky, but it worked.
Well, and there are two problems you can have with the, you know, the brake shoes themselves freezing to the drums, and then moisture inside the system, you know, freezing and either letting air through or letting, you know, freezing up a valve or, you know, there's all kinds of good stuff that can happen. So for anybody that's not, hasn't had the pleasure, you know, that's the idea is to put a little.
Exactly. You got to have some ideas for the air dryer sticks wide open.
That's what got me thinking about, you know, if Rose had ever called me with a trailer froze up, you know, what I would do in an emergency like that. Because, you know, it's too late when you're sitting there froze up. It's too late to go put an alcohol evaporator on. I mean, you know, you got to get going, so.
Yeah, you got to get going. So you got to kind of rig it to where you can get going. I had a crazy thing. In all my years of trucking, the other day I was in Columbia in the left lane. All of a sudden I heard this little pop, and air went loose in the cab. And I, you know, everything started dropping, so I was like, oh, hell, I got to get over to the next ramp just so I can get, you know, figure out what had caused it. And it was leaking in the cab. And my power divider you know, the little keepers on the back of the little switch, the whole brass nug, everything came off, and the airline was shooting around inside there. So, I clamped it and put a little zip tie on it and got it home, but I couldn't believe it. I've never, ever had one of those little lines like that come off in the cab. For
yeah,
no apparent reason.
That was...
I have been the Charlie Brown of the trucking industry lately. Anything and everything that I can tear up, I will do it.
Well, that's definitely an unusual one, that's for sure.
Have you had that happen?
Sometimes
there's like a little leak, behind your tractor valve. You hear a little bit of air leak in the cab or whatever. But I've never had one of those lines completely come off with the keeper and everything.
Gosh.
Well, is that one that actually had a hex nut that held it on?
Yeah. The whole little thing just exploded in there, and I thought, no, what caused that? But anyway, I got a new one. It was an easy fix, and got me home. And of course, the same day I had my heater hose break, and so I've been changing all of the hoses on them. Now, that's something that you really should look for, because my truck started kind of heating up, and it wasn't showing a leak anywhere. And the heater hoses that run down the side of the Peterbilt, there's, 20 foot that runs along there? And it was leaking right there at the little fitting, and it was leaking down the fender. So there was not ever showing anything anywhere, other than but a light would come on every once in a while, and I thought, what in the world? And sure enough, they pressure tested it, and I had some bad hoses.
Well, that's another good thing to keep up on.
Mm-hmm.
On the air,
you think they look okay, and they feel soft, and they're still kind of rubbery, but they're still brittle.
Well, on the airline, we did have one come apart one time, but most of the ones on our trucks are the ones that just push together.
Uh-huh.
They don't have the nut you tighten, these, you just shove them together, and then there's sort of a retainer that holds it all together.
Uh-huh.
And one of those popped out, only it was on for the boost gauge. So.
Oh.
Rose called up and says, I got this whistling noise. And so I told her, well, tip the hood and go look at the hoses on the turbo, and around. And, all hoses were good. And I said, well, and if nothing else, I thought maybe a gasket blown or something. But when she got home, I found that line. It just popped out, vibration or whatever released the little catch on it, and then so that was the deal. But haven't ever had like an airline other than maybe on a shift knob come loose.
That's on the shifter, I find that here lately I've been going around in any of my hoses, if they look like they're in a clamp or anywhere that's touching anything, I've been taking like an extra piece of heater hose and wrapping it around them and just kind of tying them together to where they're not rubbing on anything, because you don't think that they rub too much, but over time, of course, my girls are all pretty old, but, over time, they just kind of wear out, and they just rub, and I didn't realize that they rub so much. I if you touch them, they're all pretty tight, so I didn't think that they would vibrate like they do, but they do.
And the problem there is when you find it is when, it gets a hole in it, so...
Yeah, it's too late. So it's best to kind of do some preventive maintenance by, taking little pieces of heater hose. And when you have time sitting in the shipper, just go around and zip tie them on.
Yep, do thorough inspection and check out all that stuff. Well, we have got a caller in the queue. So I think I'm going to go ahead and take call. You just hang on the line. If you got a question for Maggie or a comment or anything, mash one on your phone, and we'll get you in.
I just want to let you know, too, real quick, the calendars. I ordered the calendars. I ordered 250 of them. They're very wonderful. I know it's a little late, but I had to come up with the cash up front, and I've been working and hadn't had a chance to really go and get them, but I did see the previews of them, and they are awesome, and they're well worth the $20. And if anybody needs any, you can go to the Outlaw group and put them in there, and then I can get it to you.
Hey, that sounds awesome. We'll look forward to seeing those when they're ready. And I should mention, too, that I got all the Mike Beckett's books for the Christmas fundraiser, and we sent out a few of them last week. We sent out about 18 of them today, and I'll finish up tomorrow with the balance of them. So we got that going.
I met him at the CMT. He's awesome. And that man is brilliant. Just by looking at your tires and rubbing your hands on them, and, you know, over the years you kind of learn how to tell whether, how your tires are wearing. But, you know, to tell whether your bearings are loose and different things like that just by looking at it, he's amazing. And I got his book last year at the Christmas time, and I love them.
Yeah, there's a lot of information in there. It's, you know, even if you don't intend to do your own alignment, it's a great book for learning what the different types of tire wear. And, you know, you go into, say, an alignment shop, and you want them to align your truck, but, you know, it's kind of like everybody's got their own idea what to do. But if you have a little background with a reference like that,
you kind of know going in
what you need.
I went in for an alignment, and, of course, you know, being a girl, and, of course, you know, I was pulling to the right just a little bit. So I told him, I said, you know, it's been wearing these tires off, and, you know, I need an alignment. It's been a while, you know, and my drivers drive them, and, you know, they go down the road and hit quite a few potholes. And so, you know, I knew it was needed an alignment. But when I went back to pay, they wanted to charge me, like, $2,500 for this. And I was like, holy cow. And I said, what did you change? Well, oh, they had all this whole big old list of things. And I looked at them, and I was just like, no, I'm not really stupid, but I want to see all my old parts. And they couldn't come up with them. So needless to say, I got a bunch of free new parts on my front end. But, you know, Mike Beckett, after meeting him and seeing what he does and, you know, reading his books and different things like that, it's amazing. And you can watch it right there, you know, what they do to it. And it's just, it's neat. And I just can't believe that, you know, some shops out there, you know, they'll try to take advantage of you, you know, just because we don't know any better.
Yeah, they like to do, they like to some of them have these fancy machines, and they like to put your truck on there you know, say they're going to do this or that or the other thing. But if you look at Mike's method, it corrects the alignment in it's called as driven, or with the wheels on the ground, with the truck going straight ahead, the trailer if possible, the trailer loaded if possible. So all the conditions that you're going to have on the road, not jacked up in the air on some alignment rack. So
yeah, and then I had one of my trailers one time, this guy goes, I'm going to eyeball it. And I'm like, I don't think so. You know, if you got this fancy little laser thing, let's do it. And my trailer never tracked right after that. And then my dad used to tell me you could always take a piece of tape and a string and align them, and you can. And my second does that too. And I was really, when I got to see it actually in person, I thought it was quite the thing, because my dad used to tell me all the time, you know, oh, alignment, don't spend a lot. You can just do it with your own little tape. But I watched him do it out there in the parking lot at the CMC, and I was like, this man's brilliant.
Yep, that's pretty cool. That is pretty cool. And so if anybody is interested in that kind of stuff, well, you look up mdalignment.com on the internet, and you can see their alignment stuff. Well, I'm going to go ahead and bring on our caller here, and it's 2302, and you are on the show. Hello there, 2302.
Hello.
Hello, hello. Well, I hear something. I hear something in the background.
I know.
2302, are you? We've got you on the show live here.
He's multitasking.
Yeah, it must be multitasking. And we'll put them back on hold for a while. Anybody else you want to get in with a comment or a question here? Well, go ahead and press 1 on your phone. I I made a threat here last night that I'd have to sing if we don't have any callers, and I hate to have to make good on that. Yeah, that would be
Please don't. something that somebody wants to say somewhere.
I guess I could play Terry Woolley. Hey, speaking of duct tape here, check this out.
Everybody needs some duct tape sometime. Everybody needs that extra stick. If you need to fix what's broken, duct tape is the trick.
Oh, there you go.
Is that like 100 mile an hour tape?
Sure.
Duct tape will get you home.
Yep. Well, it's amazing what you can do sometimes in an emergency, you know, with whatever you got, whatever you got to work with. Well, I said duct tape, baling wire, and bubble gum.
Yeah,
get you home.
Do you use that Rain-X stuff on your windshield?
I have used it. I have used this, their windshield washer fluid with Rain-X in it. And that works pretty good.
Some kind of stuff like that they put on it, and it left a film, kind of like it would never clear off, you know, and it was just kind of strange. And I don't know whether it could be that salty dog stuff, you know, that's on the windows. I can't get that stuff off either.
Yeah, something, quite a while back, there was a caller on Kevin's show that said that, get this invisible glass stuff, and it works really good, and I got some of it. I tried it, and it definitely works, and it really cleans the glass. I mean, it cleans it and leaves
a
film.
On TV or in an ad somewhere not too long ago, and it was saying that it'll protect your glass from rock chips. Can you believe that? It's some kind of stuff on, supposedly, and it sets up, and you're supposed to, and you're supposed to be able to see through it anyway. But it's supposed to protect your window from rock chips and all kinds of stuff. And I was just like, wow, that's kind of cool. But I don't know how well it would work, you know, because a rock can do a lot of damage. But it's supposed to put some kind of film to protect it on your windshield.
Well, I hadn't heard that, but that's a possibility. Looks like we've got
a
bunch of calls now, maybe. Yeah, maybe we got some people with some information here. We're going to go to 0576, and you are on the free-for-all here. Go ahead.
Hello, Elvin. This is Tim. We met at the Dallas Truck Show.
Oh, hello, Tim. You had the hose on your charger, or your turbo was with a hole in it. Is that the Tim?
Yeah, I guess you remember that nightmare.
Yeah, I certainly
learned a lot you know, from you and from that experience, of course, from Kevin, too. But the reason I was calling was I wanted to know if the charger cooler kit is still available to purchase, that whole system of checking in with a pressure gauge.
Yeah, the charger cooler tester. Yes, it is. We just... You know, we had kind of our fundraiser for Christmas, and that was one of the items we offered. And I do have to make those things, you know, one by one. But and I should have mentioned that if the folks that ordered those, we'll be getting those done in the next. It's probably going to take a couple, 2 to 3 weeks to get them all done. So if you're waiting, just be patient. But yeah, those are still available. If you want one, best way to do that is go to the truckercharity.org website, and I think they got them in the store over there. And that's the best way to. And so, how's things been going?
Trucking along, making money, all that kind of stuff. I've actually been fortunate to stay out of some of the colder weather. So some of the stuff some of the headaches you were talking about airlines and freight chambers and stuff, I've been pretty fortunate this winter that I haven't had too many headaches. But I'm doing good.
Well, good. Well, yeah, you're lucky if you can do that. You know, I think it's a lot colder in Canada and up north than I have to deal with. So I think this guy's got it worse off than me. But did your mileage come up after that hose we found with a hole in it? Did your mileage increase after replacing that?
Oh, yeah. I gained about a mile per gallon improvement just from fixing it. Well, it was basically what a pinhole or a little bit bigger than a pinhole in one of the hoses kind of on the inside where you couldn't see it. But it made an enormous difference, not only in the fuel economy, but also the horsepower that it kind of woke the truck up. You know what I mean? It made a huge difference.
Yeah, well, that's good. That was the idea, and that was what we're after down there, trying to, you know, check some of those kind of things. So, and I guess I could mention we're planning on doing that at the Matt show. So anybody that's going to attend Matt's, we should be over there checking charger coolers and maybe some other stuff.
You and Rose are going to Matt's?
Oh, yeah, we're planning on it. We're planning on
awesome. Awesome. I look forward to seeing you guys there.
Oh, yeah, it'd be great to see you again. And you're going to have your truck there, are you?
Oh, sure. No doubt.
Yeah, great. Because for anybody that's, I took some pictures of Tim's exhaust. He made his weed burner with a Pittsburgh Power muffler. And this was an international that had the original muffler mounted under the cab, so on the frame. So anybody that's interested in doing that and want to get a look at Tim's, and that was pretty simple.
All right. Well, thanks a lot for your help, Eldon, and I look forward to seeing you at Matt.
You bet. Well, thanks for checking in there, Tim. And we had somebody else with his hand up, and then it looked like he dropped a call, so maybe he'll get back in. Anybody else that is wanting to get in tonight, just press 1 on your phone. And let me go back and try 2302 just to see if something happened there. How about it, 2302, or are you wanting to get in tonight? Hello there.
You don't want to talk to me.
A little bashful. I hope it wasn't something I said. any other problems or any good?
Well, let me ask you this. Like you was talking about his making a weed burner, what benefits is that? I mean, how much miles per gallon if I take them off my feet? Of course, I'm not going to do that because it just looks silly, but still. I mean, is it going to benefit it a lot?
Yeah, if you have the cab-mounted stacks, like on our internationals, they just have the stack itself going up the side of the cab, where a lot of trucks have the muffler sticking out besides the stack. If you can get that off, there's a reduction in the
wind resistance.
Or, you know, a little barrel.
Mm-hmm.
Aerodynamics. I don't know. I really wasn't that wild about it on mine, but one of my two trucks, you know, the exhaust is getting pretty nasty, you know, pretty well rusted
mm-hmm.
out, and I may try it. I may just try it on that one because it's a Tim's idea. It's just a real simple come in. You know, the pipe is sort of like a Z shape coming down from the turbo. Then
uh-huh.
it goes into this muffler, you know, in and out, and then up to the stacks. So really you just take everything off but that Z, that downpipe, and then put the muffler in and fabricate some hangers and put an elbow out the back of it, and you got it. You know, it's pretty simple. That is, for me, would be very inexpensive compared to what all I'd have to replace, you know, with pipes and stacks and everything to keep the dual stacks like I got. So the only thing I don't like about is mine is bad enough where I don't know if I can measure the back pressure without fixing some of the holes. What I like to do is measure the back pressure and then try it, because that might be the other benefit, you know, is one of those Pittsburgh power mufflers with less restriction.
Everybody I know that has them loves them.
Yeah, same here. I've heard nothing but good about those. And so, and they're very inexpensive. I think, what, $160 or something like that. It's
yeah, that's well worth the money.
Yeah, very well worth that. And everybody, you know, lots of reports that they are getting better mileage and so on.
And they're
on,
quiet,
too. And they're quiet. They're not that loud. Looks like we got another hand up here, and I'm going to go ahead and go to 1876, and, well, if I can get the thing mashed, you are on live. Welcome.
Howdy, Eldon. Well, I just pushed the button.
Howdy.
You told me if I didn't push the button, I would have to listen to you sing.
Well, I was hoping somebody would, because I don't know if the system could handle me singing.
But you're talking about a lot of the brake shoes freezing to the drums. On our type of, on these milk trailers we pull, that's a pretty common occurrence. Because the axles and everything are right back there and open, where the snow and freezing rain and all that just falls right on them. And,
well, what do you do?
Take a big hammer and hit the drums till they sound like a bell, and then you're ready to go. But it's usually the back two's real bad because, you know, after we unload, they wash them, and they got all the residue draining out of the trailer, and they're washing off with the hose. It's just sometimes, even by the time you pull outside and scale out, by the time you go to back off the scale or leave, they're froze up. And that's even without even setting the trailer brakes, you know. And we've had occurrences where we come in off the road and park at the house. I've never set no tractor brakes or trailer brakes, but when we went to leave, there was couple on the tractor and three on the trailer that was froze up.
Well, you just say you ain't having any luck there.
But it's just from the snow, you know, from the, you know, when it's snowing down, because they're, you know, they're not hid underneath the trailer, but kind of like you guys are. So,
well, what about putting, just adding the dust shields to your trailers?
Well, I guess they have to talk to the company about that. I doubt that's going to fly. They got quite a few trailers.
Well,
that would help. That would help, but I think they'd do it for the visual to be able to inspect the brakes with ease, you know.
Well, I have them on my tractors, and I have, of course, had a set that just rusted out. They're not very thick to begin with, but they were just cheesecloth after the, you know, the road chemicals got to them. So, and I did replace them, but I thought about just leaving them open, but I thought it was a little one, maybe just something to help protect the, keep the chemicals out for one thing, and keep some of the moisture out. So, but I'm going to put them on my trailer. I just upgraded my trailer here a while back, and I didn't get around to doing that, but I'm going to add those on just to keep stuff out. So, and they're not that expensive. They're about $30 a piece for the Hendrickson axles that I have, so it's not too bad.
Yep. Yeah, you know, I think that's all I had. I'd keep you from singing for a few more minutes anyway.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I think everybody appreciates that. But, okay, well, thanks. Thanks for chiming in. We got some more callers here now. They don't want me to sing, so I appreciate you chiming in. And we are going to go to 2753. And it's your turn. Go ahead.
Hey, how you doing tonight, sir?
Oh, I'm hanging in there. How you doing?
I'm all right. I just jumped on here. You got a female on the line also?
Yes.
Oh, yes, I do. Got the Queen of the Outlaws, Maggie, is on with me. And
How you doing tonight, Maggie?
Not too bad.
Okay. I just jumped on here and... I didn't hear what you were talking about brakes there, but you sound like a mechanical guy. You know anything about APUs?
Sure. What do you want to know?
I've seen APUs on trucks, but I've never actually used one. Are those things gas powered or diesel powered?
They're all diesel powered, but there are some that are, yeah, electric battery powered as well. And a lot of guys have fabricated their own using, sometimes they use gas powered generators and like house air conditioners and that type of thing. But all the commercial ones are diesel powered.
That's actually what I'm looking to do. I purchased a fuel-injected diesel-powered generator, and I'm planning on tearing it apart and somehow, you know, building myself a homemade APU, I guess. So I'm just trying to get an idea about the APUs. Are those things air-cooled also?
Most of them are liquid-cooled, and... some of them use the coolant from, you know, the heat generated from the APU to circulate through the engine, keep it warm. There's about as many different APU setups as there are different trucks and rear ends and tires and things. It's just everybody's got something different. But so you have an air-cooled diesel-powered generator?
Yes, sir. What I'm planning on doing is actually taking it out the frame. It's a little diesel-powered diesel motor with a little generator attached to the back of it there. So I'm planning on mounting the plugs and everything on the inside of the truck and try to find somewhere on the outside to mount that unit. But I'm kind of worried about, you know, how much air this thing has to get and, you know, how much I have to protect it from water and snow and stuff like that.
Well, the more of the elements you can keep off it, the better. What you can do, though, is you can mount that in, you know, if you have room, and or, you know, like you say, take it out of the frame and put it in a smaller box. And then what you need to do is put some kind of a fan on there, like a little electric fan, like an automotive cooling fan to circulate the air through there. And you can, like on a motorhome with a generator, they'll have a fan that sucks air in. You know, they actually have a fan housing that sucks the air in for the cooling and circulates it. So you need to do something like that, you know, so you get good airflow there.
Ida has a grant that you can get, too, if you wanted to purchase one.
And then, like, if you just turn in your hours every quarter, they send you, like, almost $600 back. So you end up getting your money back that you purchased it with.
And that's through who now?
OIDA, Owner-Operator Independent Driver Association. They're in Green Valley,
okay.
Missouri.
Yeah, right,
you get
right.
a hold of them. They're awesome. They have little grants, and I don't guess, you know, it doesn't matter your credit or anything like that, but they got government money to give to all of us if we wanted to purchase APUs.
Okay.
Yeah.
What are the requirements for one of those?
I'm not for sure. I know one of my buddies, he told me that he gets back $600 every quarter by just turning the hours on his APU. And
okay.
He got the grants, and I think they, I'm wanting to say they're like $8,000.
Wow.
And then they're all installed and everything like that, but yet you end up getting your money back eventually, and I don't know exactly what all their requirements are, but you can call and ask them.
I'm sorry?
Do you have the number?
Oh, I checked into that.
Did you?
I checked into that myself. I can't remember. They pay a percentage of the installed price. I don't remember off the top of my head. It was 70% or 80%, and you do have to turn in the hours and the your idle time before and then after. You know, you keep track of all that, and the requirement is it has to be. SmartWay approved, and there was one that I was interested in that was not SmartWay approved. So, but you could pick a battery system, a diesel system, you know, it didn't matter, whatever the installed price was, and there might have been a limit, but I don't remember. But yeah, give them a call if you're interested in that, because that's a way to get a little money, you know, a little help with buying something like that.
And as far as my idea of putting mine together, if I put that generator and motor inside a little small toolbox, how much ventilation you think I'd have to have on that thing for it to be all right?
Well, you're going to need enough so that you can move. You know, the thing's going to move quite a bit of air. Is that a single cylinder diesel or a twin cylinder?
Oh man, you're going to get me lying. I don't even know, to be honest with you.
Well, okay. Well, generally the generators like that are for producing AC will run at 3,600 RPM, and the top-end ones, you know, the higher up ones run at 1,800. So you have to run at either 1,800 or 3,600 to get to produce the correct cycles for 60 cycles that we use for the current. So if you have I'm going to assume yours is a 3,600, and you're going to have enough airflow that, you know, that internal fan is going to be trying to circulate that air to keep that thing cool. And plus the generator will produce some heat too. So what you need to do is, like I said, if you can mount one of them little electric fans on your enclosure there to suck the hot air out, that would help. And maybe have an opening in the bottom, you know, to let fresh air in. That would help. But you are going to need a fair amount of air circulating to keep it cool.
Okay, I got one more question for you, man. Does most of the noise from that engine, because that thing is pretty loud, is it coming from the exhaust or the engine itself, as far as those little diesel-powered engines?
Yeah, probably from the engine itself. If you can put this foam noise to, you know, shield the noise around the inside of your thing, and that'll deaden that sound a lot. But yeah, I know what you mean. Those things make a lot of racket when they're running, and it's there's a lot of strain on that little thing, so that's why it's pretty noisy. Most of them have a fairly quiet muffler, so
I was thinking of actually trying to take that muffler off and probably get something like going to a bike shop or something like that and see if they had anything that would make it a little bit quieter.
Well, the quietest muffler would be they make a two-stage muffler for generators, like on a RV or something, and you can find those. You know, it's like a dual chamber thing, so they're really quiet. And that would probably be the best thing to put on there. And trying to think of a name. There's a place over in Des Moines that has those. Can't think of it. AutoJet. If you look that up on the internet, they do have different mufflers for generators.
You said AutoJet?
Yeah, AutoJet. I think it's AutoJet.com. If you Google AutoJet, that should come up, or AutoJet exhaust.
All right, I really appreciate your input, man. You guys have a good one.
You betcha. Well, good luck with it, and thanks for checking in, and keep us updated on your progress there.
You got it.
Oh, we got some more people that don't want to hear me sing now, so we're going to go to 1066. And if I can get you on there, you should be on live now.
Hello, can you guys hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay, I got a question for you guys. I got an 08 E660 with the DPF particulate filter. And it's got 470,000 miles on it. I put every one except 10 of them on myself. And a lot of DPF problems, which we all know 08s, 09s, and 2010s are lemons with the DPF. Now, I've gotten an offer for a 07 Peterbilt 386 without the DPF. Okay? Same engine without a DPF. They both got Cat engines. I know that ain't Kevin's favorite, but he ain't on the phone right now.
Yeah, Kevin ain't on here tonight. So.
But anyway, both trucks are spec'd the same, you know, tires, rear ends, transmissions, just one's a Peterbilt 386, the other one's a T660, and the Peterbilt has 10,000 less miles. The guy said he would trade title for title. Okay, now, yeah, I owe a little bit yet on this truck, I know that, but the payment, what I'm be making is no different than any other time, so the payment won't bother me. What I'm trying to do is get away from the DPF because I've been having a lot of issues. And this Peterbilt, I did not do no oil sample of it, or you know, I didn't go and check it out from front to back yet, you know. But let's say it's in good shape, you know, that it's worthy of what it is. Would you guys trade truck for truck, so you won't have the emission problems, or no?
I would.
Well, yeah, you still have, so your 07 would be an A-cert, and then the 08 would be, the 08 has that clean gas EGR and the DPF, but My thinking is anything you eliminate there, you're eliminating a headache. So if you can get away from that DPF because you already know you had, you know, lots of problems with it. They're going to be fairly expensive to work on for quite some time. So, but I definitely would check the thing out. You know, if you listen to Kevin, he's got his routine of checking things out, checking the ECM and checking the oil samples and things like that. You know, you just want to make sure you're not going from a lemon to a bigger lemon. You know what I mean?
Oh, I totally agree. I totally agree. Like I say, I did not put money down on this truck. I didn't even see the truck yet in person. I only seen pictures. But, you know, don't say that I'm going to go jump on the first truck that I come across. But the reason I say it is because I've even talked to my cat guy. It's a regular cat shop I go to. And I said the same thing to them guys. And believe it or not, they said, you better sign today. Don't wait till tomorrow. And I said, why? And it's really hard to come from a bunch of cat guys that are telling me this. And they said, because I still got warranty on this truck for a little more, not much more, only a couple months. But, you know, every year or year and a half, you got a DPF cleaning. That could be anywhere from $600 to $800 depending on where you go. So you got that upfront cost. You have sensors on the DPF input, output, all them electrical problems that could come around. You're going to have that cost. It's just so much upkeep to maintain that. And it just, every time you break down, because it doesn't break down sitting in the shop at home in your garage, it breaks down on the road. Well, you got to figure motel costs if they don't have the parts. You know, if you got to spend the night or how many nights. You know, you got all that, plus your load that you can't get delivered. You're losing freight there. I know I'll probably be taking a hit because this one's an 08 and that's an 07. But I also look at it, though, it's to my advantage because I've called lots of places. Nobody wants an 08, 09, or 2010. So,
yeah, Well, I think you'll make it up in the reduced downtime. So,
exactly. That's kind of how I'm looking at it, but I don't want to be looking like an idiot out here, and that's why I thought, well, I'll throw it out at you guys. See, you know, maybe a caller will call in and have an opinion on it, you know? I mean, we don't want to hear you sing. Maybe Maggie wouldn't mind listening to sing, you know?
I'm a cat girl. I got all cats.
Yeah, and she doesn't have any EGR or ACERT or anything. Yeah,
no,
I don't.
No, the newest truck I have is a 2000, and everybody I know that has anything over that who's had the ACERTs have hated them, other than my little brother. My little brother somehow found some little chip and way to turn it up, and he loves his ACERT. And then Kyle hates this. He thinks he's a boat anchor. And then a guy I hauled the mail with just got a 2011 Pete, and he said it was been in the shop four times already because whatever that is that circulates and it's supposed to clean itself, and it's not doing it. And they have eight brand new ones sitting in the yard that, you know, of course the mail has to run every day. And so they took it to a cat dealer, and this cat dealer told them not to spec it the way they wanted it, to let them turn it up and let it run the way it's, and I guess they turned it up, and I guess it runs like a dream, and it went from 6 miles a gallon to 8 miles a gallon and loves the thing now. And he's only had it like 2 months, and he hated it there for a little while because I was like, did you get a new truck? And he goes, yeah, and I hate the thing. And I was like, okay. But, yeah, it was, they had to just turn it up. And so you got to find the right cat dealers to deal with some of them.
And I mean, my cat guy that I deal with, I mean, after hours, if I got problems, they bring me in. I mean, they are really, really helpful. I mean, that's why I went and asked them about it. You know, I said, hey, you know I'm kind of knocking a cat down here, but what do you guys think of this, you know? And they were all for it, you know. They said an 07 motor, which Kevin would tell you, and so would Bruce, they would say you got to go to an 02 or older, you know. I understand that, you know. I totally do. But, you know, if I traded my 08 in and I go way back, I'd be kind of like upside down on my truck. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're so...
Yeah. You can rebuild it a lot cheaper and you can keep it longer.
Say that again? Maggie?
You could probably, if you went and got you an older truck, you know, sometimes you'll find somewhere you can't lease an older truck, but yet, you know, like my 2000, it's a very dependable truck, and I can rebuild it for half the price of what you can your brand new one.
Oh yeah. And then another thought I had was, is I called Bruce and I says, how much is it to pick the DPF off my truck? And he said about $14,000 to $15,000. Well,
yeah.
Now, and I'm not picking on him, but I'd be better off to trade my truck title for title and keep the $14,000 in my pocket.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But
definitely.
Bruce and them, they are working on something to de-assert them, is what he calls it. I go snowmobiling with them every year, and the guys are all like, "How do you de-assert them?" And they've been working, trying to make these asserts run, and so far I guess they've got it mastered. And if I had one, I'd take it to Bruce.
Right. I would
downsize too if I was you. To be honest with you, one less headache.
Yeah, that's why
he's so eager to get rid of it. That's what I would kind of sneak around and try to figure out what is his acert giving him a fit for. Why is he eager to get rid of it?
Right. And don't get me wrong. I'm not saying I'd go buy this truck for sure or not, but whatever truck I do, I'm going to go through the list of making sure of all the, the problems that could come around, all that stuff. And like my cat guy, he even got the VIN number of the truck that I was looking at, and he showed me everything that was done to it at a cat shop. So they're helping me out there, too. So, I mean, I do have my hands on people that I could get to help me, go through this process.
That's good. And it's great to have a good shop that will help you and take care of it. And it's always good to have a cat guy that knows what he's doing.
Right, yeah. So, but I'll get off the phone so that you guys can take care of what other people have.
Well, good luck to you.
I appreciate it,
okay,
Maggie.
Yeah.
Yep.
Good luck with it. We're going to try and squeeze another one in here. We're getting to the speed round here. We only got a couple minutes. We're going to go to 7743 now, and if it works out here, you should be on live now.
Hey, Eldon, Brock, AZ once again. Hey, I just caught the tail end of the windshield with a residue on it. Somebody was having a problem with that?
Yeah.
Well, that was Maggie.
I got a new windshield put in. For the longest time, I had a suction cup mark, from where they held it with the suction cup, and I would clean it, wash it. I could never get it away, and... Somebody told me Coca-Cola, before you get your truck washed, get up there, pour Coca-Cola on your windshield, rub it all in, and go into the truck wash or wash your truck yourself, and it crystallizes the windshield, man. Takes everything off of it.
Really? Did it take a suction cup mark off?
What's that?
Did it take the suction cup mark off?
Yeah, it took the suction cup mark off. That was you wouldn't see it, but when the windshield would get fogged up or when it would rain, like the windshield wiper would go over the water and the suction cup mark would still stay there where the water was and stuff.
I noticed I have some sticker marks that are on one of my wing windows, and it was fogging up in there the other day, and I was like, I don't really remember those stickers being there. So, gosh, they're over 10 years old, those little stickers, so... I haven't, there's no film on them, so I was like, how do you get that off?
Yeah,
I'll
Coca-Cola.
Try Coca-Cola.
that's all I had.
I heard Coca-Cola take your batteries, too.
Yep.
Awesome. I'll try that.
Well, thank you. I just want to say thank you guys for all you guys' help and everything.
Thank you.
Well, thanks for chiming in with that, and... We're down to the last few seconds here, so we better kind of wind things down. But, Maggie, I appreciate you chiming in here with me tonight.
Yeah,
it was fun, and maybe we can do it again. I want to remind everybody that tomorrow night, Dale Howard will be hosting the podcast. So if you got compliance questions, get that all ready for Dale tomorrow. And I am not sure that he'll do any singing, so I think he'll just be answering questions. But anyway, we look forward to having Dale on, and I am going to send this on out of here tonight with a special song for the cat owners. If your engine ain't a cat, it's a dog.
When going down the highway, there's a thing you ought to know. You gotta have an engine that will get you down that road. A dog that wants to play dead will leave you miles behind. But a cat has got the power to make that engine whine. Does your engine roar when it comes to life? Can you take those mountains without strife? Does your engine purr with every mile you log? If your engine ain't a cat, then it's a dog. Now, you might say I'm catty, say things that are mean, but have you ever seen a dog be king of anything? That road out there's a jungle, and it's a well-known fact. So when it comes to ruling it,
that's a good one, Ron and Kay Rivoli. If your engine ain't a cat, then it's a dog.
I'm gonna have to put that on the back of my sleeper.
Okay. Good night, everybody.
Good night, Elvin.
Good night.